What's up again, Shoreline family? It's me, Jermaine Harrison, your local youth pastor, and I'm excited to continue our series that we're going through this summer called High School Heroes, where we're looking at the lives of teenagers in the Bible and coming up with lessons that we can learn from their lives that are relevant to you and I today in 2020 and beyond. And we've looked at a couple of other characters so far, and I'm excited to share with you one of my favorite characters. His name is King David. And before we go there to kind of set up where we're going, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about an idea. I want you to think about a time in your life when you felt overlooked. Like right now, like think about a moment in your teenage life, years, maybe even younger, when you felt overlooked. For me, that was when I was on a basketball court. Back in the day, I wasn't as tall as I am today, 5'7", which of course is not that tall. I was 4 foot something probably. And as I would step on the court and the teams would be decided, usually I was picked either last or very close to last. Why? Because who wants the shortest guy on the team to be, you know, their first overall pick? Was I able to school all of them in basketball? You bet I was. But you can't tell that from an outsider's perspective, from an outsider looking in. And so I felt overlooked on numerous occasions because of my outward appearance. And the reason I tell you that story or that series of stories is because I bet that you can relate to that as well. That at one point or another in your life, you felt overlooked. Maybe for not being smart enough, for not being cool enough, for not being pretty enough, for not being athletic enough, and on I could go. We've all experienced being overlooked. And today I want to show you from God's word a young man, a teenager, who was overlooked by men, but was not overlooked by God. And so if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. It's kind of at the halfway point of your Old Testament, if you're looking on in a physical Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let me give you a little bit of context of where we are, and then we'll read through some of David's story. And so the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, had just established themselves as an official nation, and they begged God for a king, just like all the other nations around them. And God gave them King Saul, and he was tall, dark, and handsome, and he looked the part from an outsider's perspective of a leader, of a warrior king, someone that they could look to for leadership. But in fact, on the inside, he was a coward. He was not a leader. He was a man who was prone to his own desires and pleasures, and not a man who wanted to honor God. And so he wasn't a leader. And so God rejected him as the king of Israel, and he invited the prophet Samuel into the search mission for the next king of Israel. And we pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and I'll read from verses 1 and 2 and share a couple more verses, and then we'll wrap up with a principle we can learn from David's life, this high school hero in 1 Samuel 16. So verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "You have mourned long enough for Saul. I've rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem and find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king." So Samuel did as the Lord instructed, and when he arrived to Bethlehem, the elders of the town, this is verse 4, came trembling to meet him. "What's wrong?" they asked. And they said, "Do you come in peace?" Verse 5, "Yes," Samuel replied, "I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to sacrifice." And then Samuel performed this rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to this occasion as well. Verse 6, when Samuel arrived, he took a look at Eliab, Jesse's first son. And in his head, verse 6 says, he says, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed." He looked the part from an outsider's perspective. He was probably tall and dark and handsome as well. And he was like, this has got to be the guy. Verse 7, it says this, "But the Lord said to Samuel, Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. People judge by the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so jumping down to verse 11, then Samuel asks, are all these the sons you have? Because what had happened was Jesse paraded all of his sons in front of Samuel, all the ones that maybe fit the billing to be the next king of Israel. And one after the other, God was like, nope, not him. Nope, not him. Nope, not him. And so Samuel is like, man, this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And so he goes, are these all the sons that you have? And so the story goes on in the second half of verse 11 of 1 Samuel 16. There is still the youngest, Jesse replied, but he's out in the fields somewhere watching the sheep and the goats, just being the youngest brother that he is. Send for him at once, Samuel said. We will not sit down until he arrives. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. I love that that was the description of King David, the king to be. And the Lord said, this is the one. Anoint him. Isn't that crazy? So verse 13 says, so as David stood there among his brothers, these guys who all looked the part, this shepherd boy who was out in the field taking care of his sheep and the goats and giving them their provision. He was the one who was chosen by God. And so Samuel, verse 13 says, took the flask of olive oil and brought it and anointed David with oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. And so God chose someone not based on their outward appearance, but based on their heart. You've probably heard it said before that David was characterized as a man after God's own heart. And so when God decided that it was time to give Israel a new king, someone that would lead them in righteousness and obedience, he didn't choose someone that looked great on the outside. He chose a teenage shepherd boy whose heart was fully God's. He chose someone who was faithfully doing what was giving to them in the moment. This man was out in the field taking care of sheep when he was chosen to be the king of Israel. David was being faithful in the little things that God had put in front of him. And so here's the principle, and here's what the application for you and me is, that God wants you, God wants me to be faithful in the little things. You see, God sometimes rewards faithfulness in the little things with bigger opportunities in the future. Sometimes he does. And we see that clearly in the life of King David, this man who was given the maybe lowly responsibility of taking care of sheep and goats, was ultimately given the grand responsibility of leading the nation, God's chosen people, in righteousness and obedience to God. Isn't that amazing? But it started with him being faithful in the little things. So what about you? As a sibling, you know, a brother or a sister, as a son or daughter, as a friend with different responsibilities and chores and opportunities to be intentional with others, how are you doing at being faithful in the little things? Because the heroic faith of David started with his small, tiny little acts of faithfulness when no one was watching. And so what are you doing? How are you preparing yourself maybe for a moment God has for you in the future right now by being faithful with the opportunities he has given to you today? And so it all starts with leading yourself. And then it flows out into how you relate to others, how you lead and love and serve others. And so the principle that I want to leave with you is that God wants you, God wants me to be faithful in the little things. And maybe, just maybe, he might give you bigger things to do in the future. But it doesn't matter whether or not he gives you bigger things. What matters is that you are faithful in the small things. So think about those things in your life right now. Opportunities for you to faithfully love and serve your friends, your neighbors, your family, your classmates, anyone that you come in contact with. You have an incredible privilege to live out this heroic way of living based on a heroic faith dependent on the Lord our God. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great week of worship. We'll see you.